It's the Fucked Up Z-Critic Movie Gallery. It's the Fucked Up Z-Critic Movie Gallery. He's the one that rates the films in which the actors deserve no salary. From Straight Talk to Donnie Darko to Karate Kid Part 2. These are the worst movies that absolutely blew. These movies are so terrible they make you go berserk. You'd rather watch C-SPAN or the Home Shopping Network. It's the Fucked Up Z-Critic Movie Gallery. These movies suck so bad that you'd rather drink pee. It's the Fucked Up Z-Critic Movie Gallery. These movies fucking suck. Welcome to the Fucked Up Z-Critic Movie Gallery. I'm your host, the Z-Man. And today, we're going to review a movie called Batman and Robin. Oh boy, let me tell you, before we even start, I just basically wanted to give a shout out to the young man who passed away from Freedom High School in Pennsylvania, which is where, Pennsylvania is my home state. So, I feel really connected to this young man. Chalice is his last name. I'm sure you've probably heard his story a gazillion times, young man. And if you haven't, please read his story. It's just an incredible story about how his battle with liver cancer, he really fought hard, young man. And, my condolences go out to him. The young man passed away a few days ago. I wish his family well, and it's just a sad thing. I'm a huge fan of this young man. Overcame so many odds and unfortunately, he's in a better place though. You know, and the young man has to suffer no longer. So, best of luck to the family, and best wishes. I really, really am deeply sorry for that. So with that said, with all of that going on, pretty much today we're going to review Batman and Robin, one of the shittiest films I have ever viewed as a Batman fan. I really didn't watch this the first time. I knew it came out, and I just looked at the cast and crew, and I really wasn't, like, too blown away by it to go and see it. It's one of those types of movies, like, quick, hurry up and make another Batman film so we can, like, suck all the profits from all the idiot comic book lovers that will go see this film just because it has Batman on it. You know, it's fucking retarded. I mean, the producer in this film, Bob Kane and Joel Schumacher and Akiva Goldsmith, or whatever the hell that other writer's name is, I guess it doesn't really matter. Shouldn't even really give these fucking screenplay writers that wrote this piece of shit any recognition at all. But, Joel Schumacher literally fucked up the whole idea of Batman and literally put it to shame to the point where we're actually, you know, kind of bringing in a new era, and it took a long time for Batman to finally recover what was lost and the lust of everything. And unfortunately, you know, the sparkling gold that it turned out to be back in 1990 with the first release of Michael Keaton's Batman film, who's from Pittsburgh, by the way, gotta throw that out there, it just kind of turned to dust, you know. I mean, there's really not much else to say. This is the problem again. I mean, we saw this with Jaws, and now we've seen this again with Batman. I mean, when you make another sequel that is completely god awful, this is what happens. It ruins a whole franchise. Now everybody kind of just tends to focus on the new Batman franchise, and of course, you know, down the road, I mean, with the next couple of sequels that, you know, the new franchises of Batman, with Batman Begins and, you know, Batman the Dark Knight, we're going to see the fact that, you know, its legacy is going to, you know, be so much more remembered than these, you know, some of these other Batman films that, you know, honestly weren't that bad. I mean, Batman, and then there was Batman Returns and Batman Forever. Batman Forever was alright. I mean, you know, Jim Carrey as the Riddler would have been, you know, a name seller, but the fact that Val Kilmer was Batman, I was still kind of skeptical about it. I mean, you know, it gets the job done for Batman. I mean, kind of weak. Chris O'Donnell is fucking Robin's gay. One of the gayest ideas ever. I mean, I can't stand Chris O'Donnell, and unfortunately he had to return so he could fucking, you know, poop all over this fucking Bat film. I mean, hate Chris O'Donnell. Fucking homo. Anyways, far from my opinions on Chris O'Donnell, you know, like, Batman Forever really wasn't that bad. Again, I did some extensive research and found out a couple days ago of what Batman Forever might have been, had Michael Keaton returned and decided to do another film. You know, that really burned DC Comics. I mean, after Michael Keaton retired from being Batman, it was like they hit the panic button. I mean, you know, and Robin Williams would have been the Riddler. Man, that would have been fucking hysterical, because there are so many sides to Robin Williams. You know, he is a riddle in himself. I mean, he'd be playing his own character, basically. So, with the personality that he has, it would have been hysterical. But, you know, again, Batman Forever wasn't that bad of a film. And, hey, you have a kick-ass soundtrack, and Kiss by the Rose on the Range. Come on, you've all heard that. But I'm not really here to talk about, again, Batman Forever. I'm not here to talk about the new Batmans that came out, or, you know, the Batman and, you know, 1990 and so on. No, what I'm really here to focus in on is Batman and Robin. And just the nature of this film is totally fucking retarded. First of all, why in Batman and Robin, why did this I mean, is this some type of, like, to me, you get these confused, because it's like Batman Forever, then Batman and Robin. Why not call the first movie that came out before it Batman and Robin and call this Batman Forever? And you're going to see why I have this feeling in a little bit as we go through the plot and work through our usual ways on this show. So, with that said, let's take a look at the cast. And after the show's kind of over, I'm going to go over some fun facts for you that you might not have known about Batman in this film and why it could have been so much better. Alright, well, we start out with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. Alright, you know, the thing is this, alright, Mr. Freeze is a character that was made up from The Adventures of Batman and Robin, a really kick-ass cartoon, like, back in the early 90s. I mean, that literally resurrected Batman after, you know, Batman Returns. And those cartoons were spectacular. I mean, I watched those, and that's how I really became a fan of Batman. I didn't really, you know, think Batman was the shit until I watched that cartoon. You know, and it was so dark. I think that's why I liked it. It kind of brought out some of the darker scenes with the Joker and everything. And there were some scenes in that cartoon that were funny. I mean, you know. But, setting that aside, Mr. Freeze was from this cartoon. And if you saw his character in the cartoon, you would think to yourself, why is Arnold Schwarzenegger playing Mr. Freeze? Like, why have a super buff German guy play Mr. Freeze when Mr. Freeze was a skinny little dorky scientist that hid in a molecular suit and a little fishbowl and had, like, dorky glasses on, okay? So, like, why have a super muscular guy look so fucking fragile? It doesn't make any sense. It's like, what were they thinking when they were picking the cast? Were they that fucking desperate? Did nobody want to play in, like, Batman and Robin? Come on, he could have done so much better. So much better with selecting that. That was a terrible genre fit. As for, George Clooney as Batman, what the fuck are you thinking? First of all, I understand the fact that Batman is getting older, so maybe that's why, like maybe they wanted to show Batman is old and frail, but come on, George Clooney, a guy on ER that's a medic, how the hell can a caring medic Okay, a guy that, like, doesn't even stay in shape whatsoever play as Batman. I mean, you might as well just, you know, throw in, like, you know, Gilbert Godfrey as Batman, or, you know, like, Richard fucking Simmons as Batman, or, you know, like, why make Batman look like the faggoteer? Here, you know, like, come on, it's fucking stupid. Why select? I just can't get over it. Pick somebody else besides George Clooney. ER, a guy that played a medic on ER. Boy, that sounds like a great, you know, genre fit to me. Of course he can play Batman. Yep, yeah, got your fucking recipe for disaster. Anyways, after that, again, Chris O'Donnell as Robin. Okay. To show you how gay Robin is, his real name's Dick Grayson. Dick. That's so funny. Robin's so unbelievably gay. I mean, we know he's homosexual. And another thing, like, we'll just get into that later on. Before I start going on one of my usual rants. So, after that, we have Uma Thurman playing Poison Ivy, which, you know, might not be a bad fit. I'm not really big on Uma. I've just seen her in one too many films, and every single film I watch is done by Quentin Tarantino, and the movie makes, like, absolutely no sense at all. It's just friggin' retarded. Alright, so we get to a little Alicia Silverstone as Batgirl eventually. She plays Barbara Wilson, Alfred's niece. First of all, why the hell is a girl from Clueless playing Batgirl? Okay? Clueless, Batgirl. Another great genre fit. Boy, congratulations. I mean, I so see that, you know. I mean, come on. Do I really have to, you know, sit here and describe, like, how you pick a star and how it fits? Relevant? You know, there is no relevance of genre at all in this film, and that's why it's such a piece of shit. I mean, it pisses me off because Batman is one of my favorite, you know, comic books of all time, and they had to come out with something so trashy as a movie. And we had been talking about, you know, like back in the early 90s about, well, what would Batman and Robin be like together in a movie? You know, when are they going to come out with Robin? No, they got to pick some, you know, normal average Joe guy like Chris O'Donnell, who I didn't even know about until this movie started. I mean, I've never seen him in any, you know, films before. So, you pick, you know, a really B-minus actor to be in a Batman film, a blockbuster film. Unbelievable. So, after that, Michael Goh, plays Alfred Pennyworth, and Pat Hingle plays Commissioner James Gordon. And another fact is that both of these have played the same, you know, the entire way through. So the only two consistent characters in any of the four films. So I guess what they're trying to say is this film, it became a complete disaster because nobody wanted to play Batman. Like, what was it? I mean, was the director, like, a total asshole or something? And, you know, just pissed people off on a daily basis with his script writing? Because, honestly, if you read this script, I would just, like, throw it and shove it up the director's ass. Because it's terrible. I mean, I can't believe how bad this movie is. Sitting through 123 minutes of this film is like spending 2 years in a hospital with an IV stuck in you. It's just like the most annoying, agonizing pain you have to sit through. I mean, I'd rather, you know, freaking bury myself in the Mojave Desert and let the sun hit my head and let my head completely peel off all its skin until I'm a damn skeleton. I mean, so with that said, let's get to the plot. So, the beginning of the movie is really beyond retarded. I mean, like, it's just like, why do we have to see so much butt in the first, like, opening credits? Okay, first of all, if you've watched any of the other Batman films before, they usually have, like, there was, like, a special thing they usually did. Like, it would be in, like, you know, special font that they would put, the movies based off of the DC, you know, popular DC comic book. And that's what it would say. Well, no, you look at the opening credits, it just has Batman and Robin. And then it has the gay bat symbol of Robin. Like, it's terrible. I mean, seriously. Come on, what's this based off of? Is it based off the cartoon, or I want to know what the hell this movie's based off of. It's probably based off of, you know, pot smokers or something. I mean, for all I know, with the way the script's written, it probably was written by some, you know, egotistical pot smoker or something. I mean, seriously, they must have did like 5 lines of crack before they wrote this script. I mean, come on. It's fucking horrible. And the sad part is, all the marketing that went into this, I mean, movie, like, you remember all the Pop-Tarts with, like, Mr. Freeze Pop-Tarts, and, like, the blue, you know, Pop-Tarts that, and there was, like, so much that went into Batman and Robin. From what I heard, they put in over $1 million to market this film. I mean, that's a lot of money just to market a shitty film. I mean, that's probably why they spent so much time marketing rather than actually producing the film and doing a good job on the script, is because they knew they were just trying to rip everybody off. Like, this is a total slap in the face to Batman fans everywhere. It's like, you know, another director trying to steal money off of innocent comic book readers because they know that they'll go see the new Batman. Well, again, we start off with the opening credits and the fact that there's nothing that says it's based off of DC. So, DC Comics, that is. So, that sucks. Well, in the beginning of the movie, like, why the hell do we have to see so much ass? Like, okay, maybe that's the sum up of this movie's ass, but, like, in the beginning when they suit up, like, when does Batman ever suit up in the beginning of the goddamn movie? When do you ever see Batman suit up? I mean, in any of the films to begin the film. Like, that's my biggest issue. You, like, and then you have to... They show you George Clooney's butt. I mean, come on. I would rather, you know, look at a mule's ass than George Clooney's ass, alright? I'm a guy, I don't need to see all this ass going on. I mean, I swear, what is this, some type of scat fest or something? Like, I'm serious. Okay, maybe that is a little disgusting, but I'm serious. They're like, have to zoom in on his butt when he's putting his suit on. Just totally freaking lame. So, then you get, after they all suit up and everything, like, you know, Robin's starting his complain fest as the fairy usually does, and he goes, you know, like, why won't you let me help you, and blah, 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 and with his new usual immature rants that make no sense, and Batman goes, this is why Superman works alone. Wait a second. A Superman reference in a Batman film? When the hell does that ever happen? Like, this is Gotham City. This isn't, you know, like, Superman City, you know? Like Superman wouldn't reference Batman in any of his films. Why the hell would you say such a stupid line like that? Like, why the Superman reference? I'm sorry. In a Batman film. Okay, I could understand if it was in some other film, but we're talking about like, you know, is this Superman or is this Batman? I'm a little confused here. Like, why the Superman reference? So, then, like, Robin's complaining about a car, and he's like, you're so lucky to have a car. Chicks dig the car. Chicks dig the car. Okay. Like, I'm sorry. That's just another stupid line in a movie. Chicks dig the car. Like, I can't really put into words so that you can understand how bad of a line that is for an opening line. Let alone a Batman and Robin line, okay? That was so cheese whiz cheesy. So, like, he's complaining about having a motorcycle. Well, duh, you were in the circus as a motorcyclist, and that's what you know how to drive. So you just go with what you know how to drive. Like, what does he want, like a Batmobile too? The Robinmobile. Yeah, that sounds real cool. About as cool as freaking C-SPAN. Anyways. Then my problem is, like, since when does Commissioner Gordon ever, like, instantly contact Batman in a film? And, like, why is he dressed up like a general? Like, I thought he was supposed to be a detective. Detective Gordon, Commissioner Gordon, not dressed up like, you know, like, his costume's totally retarded. He looks like a war veteran or something. He doesn't look like a cop. I mean, come on, he has, like, all these, like, stars on him and shit. And, like, why does he instantly contact Batman? Like, does he know Batman's number? Like, what is Batman's number? I want to try and call Batman, you know, and, like, pop up on a screen saying, Batman, we need you. There's a man called Freeze. Well, here's my problem. Okay, this is my biggest problem here. This is where the plot really just kind of deludes and just doesn't make any sense. Like, why did Batman and Robin have to suit up so damn fast, okay? In the beginning of the movie, like, did they already sense the fact that, you know, Mr. Freeze was terrorizing the town? I mean, Commissioner Gordon gets on the phone and calls them way after, while they're going down the road, okay, after they suited up. This is totally illogical. Like, did they just know already? I mean, what the hell? Totally inconsistent plot. What a piece of shit. So, then anyways, there's, like, so much technology in this film. Like, you just already are blown away by, like, how much they spent in technology. Like, all these stupid gizmos, it's just like a, it's like an array of shit, basically. Like, all this technological shit, like, you know, that they just come up with out of the blue. And it just, it's horrible. Like, It makes the scenery look like garbage. Like, it looks like something out of Sanford and Son's you know, used junk sale lot or something, you know? Like, it's just horrible. It's like an array of fuck. So, anyways, back to the plot here. Instantly, he meets Mr. Freeze, and he goes, when Batman's, like, sliding onto, like, the scene, so to speak, and, Freeze is kicking the shit out of everybody in the city, Batman goes to Freeze, "Hi, Freeze, I'm Batman," and he doesn't even do it right, he just goes, he doesn't say it how I just said, he says it like this, "Hi, Freeze, I'm Batman." No, you're supposed to say it viciously, like, "Hi, Freeze, I'm Batman." Like, come on, seriously. Why do we have to have such a pansy as Batman? Oh, my God, this fucking movie's horrible. Alright, I'm gonna calm down here. It's gonna happen. So, anyways, Batman has, like, these, okay, I can't explain the hockey scene, I really can't. Like, okay, they're just standing around, and they're kind of surrounded by these, like, hockey people. They kind of look like, something out of a video game that you would, like, play. Like, remember Mutant League Football? It's kind of like Mutant League Hockey or something. They look like a bunch of mutants or something. And so they're getting ready to play hockey. Like, why do you have to play hockey in a Batman movie? This is Batman. This isn't the NHL or the Zombie Hockey League here, you know? So Freeze is trying to get this diamond that's in the museum, and Batman and Robin just so happen to be just standing there, and they magically, like, hurry up, click their shoes twice, like, you know, similar to that girl from Wizard of Oz, and they start skating around, you know, like, come on, you're telling me that they now officially have special skates on their shoes? I want a pair of shoes like that. That's fucking retarded. I'm like, okay, you just subconsciously know and you're prepared for ice, okay, that you're gonna be, you know, make sure you bring your, you know, skate shoes with you, your special skate shoes that you tap twice and then just come right out. I mean, that is so retarded. It's fucking horrible. So, anyways, Freeze, right before he uses his freeze gun to freeze the whole entire museum, he states, and I quote, "Who killed the dinosaurs?" "The Ice Age did." And then he fires his gun. I'm sorry. That, it's not even funny. Like, it really isn't. Like, what was the purpose of that line? Like, could you have been any cheesier than Velveeta cheese to come up with that line? Like, come on. Like, what is with this film and these cheesy lines? I'm pissed off already. Like, this movie sucks. It's horrible. I just can't believe it. It makes me, like, want to, you know, freaking throw it in the recycle bin and, like, or, like, a box compressor and watch it smash into a million pieces. I mean, it's just the worst line ever. So, anyways, during the fight scene, like, Freeze gets his escape route going, and sure enough, it's similar to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. What the hell is with this? Like, we've already seen, like, all this stuff being stolen, all these ideas stolen from other movies. Like, did the director in this film have any creativity at all? Any? Well, it looks like this huge dildo, you know? Like his evacuation dildo, like, breaks through the glass, and it's, like, similar to, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, you know, kind of like how in the end where they go into that, like, little, like, tunnel swirly thing, and it just, like, shoots up out of the air. It looks like a huge dildo going up somebody's ass. I mean, it's terrible. Like, come up with a better idea of an escape route. So, then, like, the whole Batman thing, like, Robin comes up and magically, like, saves him. Like, how did he know to, like, you know, hang on to that, you know, dildo thing the entire time? I mean, I'm pretty sure he would have fallen off. How did he even get there in the first place? Because he's not even in that dildo-looking thing, you know, when it shoots off. So, he's still on the ground. Well, next, Batman decides to blow up this dildo evacuation thing. More like anal evacuation. And, he blows it up. And then, out of nowhere, they just come up with these, like, surfboards. When in God's name did they ever have surfboards in Batman? When has Batman ever had a surfboard? I have never seen Batman ever have a surfboard before. I mean, just another retarded idea. I mean, why not just play Surfing USA while they're doing that, too, just to even make it look more, you know, retarded. Horrible. So, anyways, you get to this next scene, and Alicia Silverstone knocks on the door, and you just magically find out that Alfred, after all these years, actually has a niece. And it's so stupid, the way, like, this scene's done, and what they say, like, in the script. Like, okay, Alfred apologizes first for somebody knocking on the door. And, like, Batman, like, why should Alfred have to apologize for somebody knocking on the door? Like, okay, you can control that. Yup. Just like the fact that you can control, you know, whether a nuclear bomb's gonna be dropped on, like, Japan, or, like, you could control what happened, you know, 30 years ago in Vietnam or something. Like, that's so retarded. Why be sorry for something that you cannot control? Stupid. I mean, I guess I should do that too. Like, every time someone knocks on the door, I'm sorry, hon. I didn't mean for that to happen. Someone just knocked on the door. Like, why apologize for it? That's just bizarre. So, anyways, like I was saying, you know, the thing is, with this movie, it just bugs me how many stupid things they say. So, George Clooney goes, well, don't be sorry, it's the first time it's happened in 30 years. Wait, you're telling me that nobody's knocked on the Wayne house for 30 years? Well, what about the other movies, like, where somebody knocked on the door? I'm pretty sure there's been other women, you know, during those other, I mean, Kim Basinger knocked on the door in the first one. I mean, to me, that would only be 7 years if you're counting that, or maybe even 5, because doesn't Catwoman do that too, and, you know, Batman Returns? So he should be apologizing for 5 years, you know? I mean, that's just retarded. And totally inconsistent. Completely. Like, why did that have to be said? I don't understand. So, then, like, you meet Alicia Silverstone and stuff, and you find out that that's, you know, Alfred's niece. And, Margaret, I guess, or, you know, whatever. You find out about this girl named Margaret and this picture, okay, that he has, and apparently Margaret was his former love that probably, I'm guessing, passed away at some point in time. And it says Love Peg on it, like on the picture. And Alfred and Alicia Silverstone are talking, and like, he describes it as a nickname. Yeah, Peg's a nickname for Margaret. Do you know anybody named Margaret? Like, you don't just call him Peg. That's stupid. That's like me saying, okay, my nickname is, you know, Bert, because my first name's Adam. I mean, you're just trading one name for another name. It's just totally retarded. Just fucking asinine. Like, how much more asinine shit can you put in a movie? I'm sorry, like, this movie's terrible. It's just horrible. I mean, ugh. So, then, like, then during all these different scenes, like, you meet Poison Ivy in the jungle, and, she's working on a rainforest project, and there's this idiot, like, nut guy, scientist, and basically what transpires in this scene isn't really important. It's just important that you know who Bane is. Oh my goodness, Bane has to be the biggest moron in this film. I mean, he has to be by far the stupidest, like, enemy in a film ever. The stupidest villain. Like, this dude has about the intelligence of a 2-year-old. I mean, maybe even 2-year-olds can say more than Bane does. I don't understand, like, how you can make a villain so dumb. Like, honestly. So, anyways, Bane is in the World Hall of Fame for dumbest villains, and, you know, it's like, how he's created is this. This is so confusing, so bear with me. The crazy nut scientist and Uma Thurman are going back and forth about how the environment should be made and blah, blah, blah. And the crazy scientist comes up with this magic potion of something from all the plants and, like, puts a ton of chlorophyll, like this chlorophyll mixture, into Bane, and it, like, you know, makes him all of a sudden, like, this, you know, skinny little, he goes from being a skinny little pathetic homicidal maniac, or gimp, if you want to call him, to, like, this huge, buff-looking, crazy psycho guy, you know. But he's still dumb as hell. It didn't make him any smarter. Although the chlorophyll's kind of, like, connected to his head, and there's these, like, green tubes on him and stuff. He just looks like shit. So, anyways, green shit's, like, flowing through his entire body, because that's what he runs off of. And, the scientist kind of tries to kill... eventually Poison Ivy. And what is it with chicks getting killed in Batman, you know? Like, first it was Catwoman, and you actually kind of felt sorry for Catwoman, because, I mean, you know, in the end, she's kind of a heroine slash villain, so you don't really feel bad for her there. And then, like, it's a similar thing, like, they took it, they ripped it right off of Batman Returns, like, a crazy, you know, scientist dude killing off, you know, the main, or, you know, killing off the eventual villain. So, anyways, somehow, some way, all this poison, like, sucks up into her, and all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, she pops out as Poison Ivy, and, like, you know, looks like drop-dead gorgeous. So, I guess if you want to look good in Hollywood, this is what you do. You go suck up all the chlorophyll from the plants, create this magic potion, drink it, and then you'll look gorgeous. You'll look from, you know, complete crap to gorgeous in about, you know, 2 or 3 seconds. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, anyways, getting back to the story here, pretty much, like, the scientist thinks he's killed her off for good, and she pops out and kills him, gives him a kiss, and it's just stupid. So, Bane and her kind of tag up together, and Bane is running off of chlorophyll, the same basic stuff that she's running off of, and he's like hooked up and has all these huge muscles and stuff. So apparently, you know, instead of plastic surgery, everybody should just get chlorophyll in their body. Well, after that, it's so dumb. Like, they're driving to, like, some press conference that they knew Bruce Wayne was going to be at, and, the thing is, Bane can drive. You're telling me this moron that can't even speak, barely speak at all, barely even, you know, his vocabulary, there is none. There is no vocabulary for Bane. This man can drive a car. This little gimpy guy, you know, apparently, again, chlorophyll gives you the power to drive, I guess. So, apparently, you can just automatically know how to drive. Like, that just confuses the hell out of me. Like, Bane's her driver instantly. I'm sorry, I'm not trusting Bane to drive a car. I mean, that's like, you know, asking, Saddam Hussein to be your driver or your caddiest or something. I mean, I would not put that type of trust in Bane. Let me tell you. I mean, that's like putting trust in George W. Bush that he's gonna, you know, help out with the education plan or, you know, try and help fight for the oil companies to reduce the prices of oil. It's not gonna happen. So, like, why would you trust Bane to drive your car? You're just asking for a wreck. Well, anyways, you meet Batman's, like, kind of girl that he's hooking up with. But who the hell is Julie Madison? Julie Madison is apparently Batman's made-up, you know, woman that he's seeing. You know, like, why is she even in this film? What the hell were they thinking? Like, what a total waste of a character. Like, you'll see on why this is a total waste. So, anyways, after the whole press conference and, you know, Batman kind of meets, Poison Ivy for the first time, she finds out that he's going to this masquerade ball or whatever. So, Victor Freeze is watching television, and it's kind of funny, because he's in a fucking cooler. Like, when can you watch television with ice on it? And just, like, stick in a movie? I'm gonna try that sometime. Like, I'm gonna put my television, like, in a freezer and see what happens to it, and see if I can still turn it on. I mean, I'm pretty sure it'll work, right? Right? Yeah, I'm really sure. I think I'm going to go try that experiment after this show. So, anyways, he's watching TV with the friggin' frozen TV, and, like, he's watching, you know, wedding movies and whatnot of his wife that he's trying to save, and you learn that she has McGregor's syndrome, which we'll get in the facts of, you know, this idiotic made-up disease. Like, they couldn't, I mean, it's just totally retarded how they came up with this, and you'll find out in the facts and trivia after this show. So, anyways, when Poison Ivy and Victor Freeze show up to this, like, masquerade ball, and it's so stupid when Poison Ivy shows up and makes her entrance. She kind of spreads her poison around for the first time to everybody in all of Gotham, and they're just kind of standing there gawking at her like, you know, she's Christine Aguilera or some, you know, superstar, like bunch of teenagers, you know, watching Hannah Montana or something. I mean, come on. It's just stupid, and it's just totally comical. Like, Batman, this movie is such a joke. So, while everybody's kind of gawking at her, she spreads it to Batman and Robin, and they start this whole entire bidding war on Poison Ivy. So, anyways, it's kind of fun. It's just so lame. And which is why this movie should have been called Batman Forever, and why the movie before it should have been called Batman and Robin. Well, he pulls out this stupid credit card that says Batman Forever on it. What? I don't understand this. Why reference a movie that you just produced, like, you know, 2 years ago, because this film was referenced in 1997, this film was made. So why reference a movie that was 2 years, you know, before it? It makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense at all. Like, haha, it's funny. Like, can't you come up with another idea? Like, call it something else. Don't just call it what somebody else's movie already was. Like, why do you have to keep stealing shit, Joel Schumacher? Are you that much of an idiot? You have any creativity at all? I mean, call it, you know, Batman Express, call it Batman, you know, Batman Loot, something funny, something snappy, you know. Don't freaking call it just some, you know, something that was already used, because you're too lazy to come up with a cool name for a Batman credit card. So that was my biggest problem with that. Okay, so, anyways, they're kind of chasing each other through the, you know, city, and it's kind of like, you know, just going on and dragging on, like, I'm falling and I can't get up, this movie's so horrible. Anyways, it's dragging on, and they're kind of, you know, chasing each other through Gotham City. And what's with the statues? You know, like, you see all these, like, big body statues and stuff, and, like, when has Gotham ever had, like, a big body statue? What's that got to do with a Batman film? Shouldn't it have a huge statue of Batman, maybe? Because, like, you know, he is the hero. I mean, meanwhile, we got some statue that looks like Joseph Stalin from, like, USSR or something, like some big muscular buff dude. What is this, USSR or Gotham? I mean, apparently, it's USSR. So, anyways, okay, when they're chasing each other, like, it's so stupid, because what eventually happens is this. Batman and Robin get into this argument about, you know, making a jump, and off of the statue, because Victor Freeze already made the jump into another building. And Batman tells Robin, he's like, you're not going to make the jump. He's like, yes, I can make the jump. And then Batman, okay, this is the worst part of the film, in my mind, and the stupidest, and makes absolutely positively no sense at all. He goes, disable engine. And he disables Robin's motorcycle that he's riding on. So, does that mean that, like, you can do that any old time? Like, I wish I had a car where I could just go to someone, you know, that was trying to outspeed me, or, you know, someone trying to pass me, or, you know, imagine if you could do that to people that would, like, try and pass you in traffic all the time, like, go, disable engine. and like their engine would like be completely disabled and like shut down. That'd be awesome. I mean, that'd be a noteworthy tool to use. I mean, don't you wish you could do that to everybody? What a this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard, to disable engine, and the vehicle you're not even driving is actually disabled. Like, how did it know to disable Robin? Like, it would have made more sense for him to say disable Robin's engine, you know? Not just go disable engine, because wouldn't you be talking about your car? Like, how would the computer know to disable Robin's engine? I just don't understand this movie. Like, it pisses me off on so many levels. And I know you're thinking up here, oh, he's just nitpicking. No! This is a fucking horrible film, and this is why. Like, there's just so many things that just are stupid. And it really, like, if I'm gonna waste my time, 123 minutes to watch, you know, all the senseless other shit that we're gonna get into, like, why should I have to put up with, like, these stupid lines? Like, no, I'm gonna bring them out because that's what I do. So, anyways, with that said, they finally catch, Mr. Freeze. They throw him in the asylum. It looks like a freaking castle or something. Since when did an insane asylum look like a castle? I mean, I thought they were just regular, you know, buildings or something. So, anyways, it's like this dark, eerie place, and they take Mr. Freeze in, and it's so retarded because, like, Victor Freeze, I mean, come on, you can't be this stupid. The guards have, like, this little freezing chamber thing, and don't ask me how the hell they created that. So, because I guess every insane asylum has a little, you know, freeze thing that comes up out of the wall. I mean, go down to Western Psych or, you know, some other psychiatrical facility, and, you know, or 3 North, and I'm pretty sure you'll, you know, find a freeze chamber. Yeah, okay. So, anyways, they're in the freeze chamber. They put him in, and he can only survive in the freeze chamber. So, the cops know this, so they're kind of, like, screwing with him, and you notice that Jesse Ventura is one of the cops, and he's, like, the most overused actor ever. And, we'll get to the fun facts later on. Well, like I was just saying, it's totally retarded because, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger knows that, you know, Mr. Freeze knows that if he steps outside the cooling chamber, he's gonna die. Well, he steps out anyways and tries to beat the hell out of the cops, and then he's like, like, he's so shocked, like, that, you know, he's gonna step out of the cooling chamber. Like, why not stay in the cooling chamber? And, you know, like, why would you try to escape without the cooling chamber? That's just a totally wasted scene. That's like, duh. Like, 2 + 2 = 4. No, it doesn't. It equals 5. You know, it's just common sense. Like, that's like me, you know, knowing, like, if I stepped out onto the moon and, you know, like, stepped out in the atmosphere or something, like, out in space and just went, okay, I'm gonna, you know, hurry up and jump out without a spacesuit on and, you know, let the oxygen, you know, let myself run out of oxygen in, like, 10, 20 seconds, watch myself die in the atmosphere. Stupid. So, anyways, there's a Turkish bath scene, and that's how Poison Ivy figures out to go ahead and, like, set up her place there, but she has to get through these, like, cannibals in the first place, and that's just retarded in itself. Like, okay, in Gotham City, there are cannibals. There are cannibals in Batman, yes, because, you know, every Batman, you know, film and every Batman episode, there's a bunch of cannibals in Gotham City. Come on, please. Like, Batman's supposed to liberate, you know, the villains and take care of crime. So I'm pretty sure that there aren't cannibals living in a Turkish bath. So she throws them out, and it's just a completely waste of fucking time. So after that, she takes over the place and kind of sets up her own thing. And sure enough, after that, she comes up with a line that goes, it's stupid too, also I should mention, it's stupid when Poison Ivy and Bane, like, kick, you know, the ever-living shit out of them, because, like, it's like cartoon noises, like, whoop, 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 whoop. It's like something out of a cartoon. It's cartoon kitty noises, like, whoop, whoop, whoop. It's retarded. And it's like, boink, 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 boink. And like, I mean, these are brutal dudes, and I wanted to see, like, a bloodbath. Instead, like, we're subjected to, like, little kitty, you know, noises, and lo and behold, don't put any violence in a Batman film. You might get criticized for it. Has some guts. Like, you know, make it like Bloodsport, you know, with a bunch of blood everywhere. Come on. It's absolutely a joke. So, what's the problem with all this, you know? Like, what's my big issue with Bane, you might say? Well, my problem is this. Like, he's such a moron. Like, his vocabulary, he has none. Because, like, whatever you say, he says back. Poison Ivy goes, let's get this place ready, honey, because we're gonna have company. And he goes, honey, company. Like, he sounds like an idiot caveman from the Geico commercial or something. Like, is he that much of a moron? I mean, talk about borophyll. This movie is tons of borophyll in it. I don't see any chlorophyll. I'm gonna start calling the chlorophyll in this movie borophyll because it's fucking boring. So, anyways, there's another wasted scene that comes up. You start learning that, Alfred's niece is like this crazy bike rider chick trying to earn money to pay back, you know, Alfred. Meanwhile, Alfred has this syndrome, and she knows that he's sick and dying and probably gonna die. So why would you try and raise money to pay him back? Shouldn't you be trying to find a cure for the syndrome and not be racing around? That's like me saying to a loan agency, or, you know, like my mom when I know she's going to die, here, Mom, here's like $1 million. I mean, I know you're going to die, but you can bury it with you in your grave. I mean, what good is the money going to do? I mean, if there's no cure for this McGregor syndrome that you so happen to know about secretly, I mean, it's totally retarded. Like, the thought process that goes into this movie is just so bad. Like, I can't take it. It's just common sense, you know? It's like, this movie has no common sense. And what's with the people dressed like Clockwork Orange, like, in the bike race, too? I mean, like, they literally ripped the costumes off of Clockwork Orange in the bike race. It even says that in some of the trivia that I'm going to read to you, and you will be astonished, I'm telling you. So, with that said, Robin magically appears in the race, and you don't even see him until, like, the very end. And sure enough, when she's, like, sliding because she falls off her bike during the race, there's, instead of, like, you know, some type of, you know, gizmo that Robin usually has to save people, you know what they're saved by? A pole, a steel rod pole sticking on the outside of the concrete. Yeah, you're going to be able to hang on to that and then have somebody pulling on you without falling off. you're going to be able to do that. It's already hard enough to pull onto that metal rod, let alone have a person hanging onto you while you're holding onto a metal rod. That metal rod would probably break because there's, you know, too much weight, or your hand's going to slip. I mean, because somebody else is pulling onto you. So, like, after that, instead of showing how they were rescued, they just completely cut it and go to another scene. It's like saying, okay, we completely fucked up, you know, the ways of gravity and logic, so we know we did that, so we're just going to hurry up and cut to another scene, so that way we can just make up the fact that they were rescued. I mean, where is the thought process with this director? Like, I would personally like to interview this director, Joel Schumacher, because I would ask him some questions that he probably wouldn't even be able to answer. He probably would not even be able to give me an intelligent answer. I mean, that's my biggest problem. I can't take this anymore. I could go on and on all day with the bad stuff in this. I really should have done a two-parter in this, honestly. So, anyways, there's a scene where we go back to the sane asylum and how Victor Freeze gets out of his mess. Well, we see the fact that he's making some type of knick-knack out of a clock that he brought, okay? He just magically had a clock. An alarm clock, I guess. I don't know why. Don't ask me why or how he got this, you know, metal old alarm clock that's like from the 1930s. He gets a piece of ice somehow. I don't know how he got the piece of ice either. He just like magically made it. Because, you know, if you remember right, he doesn't have his suit, so how is he going to make ice? Well, apparently he makes ice through the, you know, ice chamber that he's at. But it's like, if you saw this ice chamber, you would say there's no way he could do this. Like, there's no way he could create ice. So, anyways, he creates this ice, and he creates a sculpture out of it. Using what? I have no idea. I mean, I guess he just makes... I mean, have you ever made ice sculptures with your hand? I mean, let alone, like, you know, a perfect little, like, distinguished knick-knack. Like, and if you look at the details of this, it's just totally unrealistic that he could make something like this using his bare hands with ice. So, he makes a nice sculpture, and he makes this knick-knack, and it just kind of twirls around. I guess he took the clock, and he kind of, like, used the gears in it to, like, turn it around, and then he magically has, like, a little plastic or a little, I think it's like a glass, like, plate that goes on the outside, kind of like a bubble. So he watches it spin around the entire time, and I just, you know, that's what bugs me when I watch a film. It is when I know it's going to be really bad, there's just a lot of crap in it that you can't account for, and this is the most illogical film I've ever watched in my entire life. Absolutely defies everything. Like, everything in this film you could just literally pick on. I mean, that's how bad it is. So, after that, the getaway is so retarded. They just, like, Poison Ivy makes out with the two police officers and they just die. So, after that, Mr. Bane can't break, like, the walls because they're, like, reinforced steel in a sane asylum. I mean, that would make sense. So, Mr. Freeze, this whole entire time, like, and how does the suit get there? Like, you don't even see the suit, like, at all. I guess, I don't even know where the suit comes from. I really don't. And I really was not focusing in on that. But that bothers me. Maybe I'll go watch this film again and see how the suit magically appeared, like in the sane asylum. But the suit gets there somehow, because it surely wasn't with Poison Ivy and Bane at the time. So, Victor Freeze uses one of his hoses, and it, you know, starts to spread this nitrogen oxide or whatever the hell it is, and it freezes the pipes. So he freezes the pipes and therefore freezes the wall, and then they bust it open. So after that, they jump. They only have one solution: to jump the whole way into this like river. So instead of, you know, showing the escape, no, once again, they just show them jumping out, and then they just cut it. Like, they don't show you actually how they escape. They just apparently magically escape, and he's like, it's so dumb, because he's like, I hope Mr. Bing can swim, and he goes, ugh. I don't think that idiot would know how to swim. I mean, how did they get Mr. Bane out of the pool, or out of the creek, or whatever the hell you call it? I mean, it's just stupid. Like, what were they thinking on that scene? I have no idea. Well, after that, again, there's like a scene where you find out, like, from Commissioner Gordon, and he's talking to Batman and Robin about how, they magically appeared in South America, and, you know, Batman and Robin are just bickering back and forth, and he's like, I know why Batman is going on this me Batman thing. It's because you're jealous, you know. And Batman says, no, it's because, you know, Poison Ivy spread poison in you, and you want Poison Ivy. So after that, he says he wants his own signal, blah, 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 the whole entire argument. You know, just another fucking wasted scene. I mean, that doesn't need to be there. So after that, you find out that Wilfred's dying of McGregor's syndrome, the same exact syndrome that his wife has, and that there's a way you can cure it. Yeah, okay, first of all, I've never heard of this McGregor's syndrome. It's completely fictional. And if it is rare, how do two people that you're going after have the same disease? Okay, it makes, again, no sense at all. I mean, it's a pretty big coincidence, and too much of a coincidence for me to swallow. Well, after that, like, my big issue is this. The scene with Alfred laying there, and Alicia Silverstone goes, she's like, well, what do you want, Alfred? And Alfred goes, I want you to take this and give it to my, you know, brother Wilfred. And there was another, like, completely wasted, you know, wasted scene. He's looking for Wilfred, and I guess they couldn't put him in the film because they overspent so much on this budget. So they're like, we'll just make Wilfred, you know, have him talk about Wilfred, his made-up brother, or whatever, if that is his brother, he says, and, you know, we'll just leave it at that. Oh, that's pretty retarded. Why talk about another character if he doesn't exist? That's like me starting to make up people in my mind, you know, like, I have a buddy named Fred, and, you know, Fred isn't even there. It's like making people up and imagining people. I mean, sounds schizophrenic to me there, but whatever. And another thing, the flashbacks in this scene are just completely retarded. I wanted to bring that out. There were some flashback scenes that, like, took 2 seconds, and instead of, like, showing you actual scenes, like, with his family and stuff, you know, you would have liked to have seen his dad and stuff. I guess that was too much to make. Instead, they, you know, had to give you 2 little second flashbacks, and, like, Batman looking like he, you know, had, like, severe Alzheimer's disease, thinking about the past, and, you know, looking like a frickin' retard, like, reliving it, and not, you know, focusing on who was talking to him. Just There's so many things about this film. Oh my god. Well, after that, after all this, Batgirl becomes Batgirl, okay? If that makes any sense. She goes and takes her, little secret down to the Batman lab after she opens up his little computerized notebook thing. And, she gets into the secret of, who Batman and Robin are. So, after that, she goes into the Batcave and comes out as Batgirl. Well, here's my question. Why didn't, Alfred allow her to be Batwoman in the first place? I mean, that's just totally retarded. Absolutely, totally retarded and totally moronic. Well, anyways, this ends part one of Batman and Robin, because this is so long and there are so many bad things to it, and I also want to get to the trivia. So with that said, have a good day, and I'll see you next time on the Fucked Up Z Critic Gallery. And I cannot wait to get to the fun-filled facts about this movie after we're done rehearsing all this garbage that I have to talk about to bring out why Batman and Robin's so bad. There's just so many things in this film that are bad. So with that said, you have a nice day.